Hello, I'm Michael Hainsworth. Tax experts and economists agree changes are needed to the Canadian tax system. But where do we find the political will and the public support, especially when the tax system is cluttered with populist measures aimed at ensuring re-election instead of doing the right thing? Meet Heather Evans, Executive Director and CEO of the Canadian Tax Foundation. She argues that we need a comprehensive tax reform strategy that reduces the reliance on inefficient taxes and focuses on broad-based supports for business investment and innovation. Sell it to Canadians. How does it help?
Yep. Well, it's interesting. It's a very hard sell for many Canadians, and I fully acknowledge that. It's very popular to reduce taxes. It's very hard to bring them back. I think restoring the 2% cut in the GST would be the right thing to do, with the appropriate measures to protect lower-income Canadians. That's critical. That absolutely has to be part of the package. And I think that it must be part of an overall package that aims to be neutral from a cost perspective. That being said, I mean, the GST is highly visible, right? It's like municipal property taxes. It's something that people pay every time they, every time they pay it, they feel it, right? It's not like income tax, which for most people is withheld at source. It's semi-invisible, right? Because you just get your net pay in your bank account and you don't really think about it. You don't have to write a check every 2 weeks for your income tax. But the GST, you pay every time you purchase something. So it's highly visible. And I think that reality has to be acknowledged. And therefore, it has to be part of a package of broader reforms where there's give and take. And so it's not perceived as slamming certain parts of the population while others get to keep their benefit.
She joins us now. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
You've pointed out in the past that we know we need to change things, but achieving progressive reform is harder than identifying the need for reform in the first place. But why?
Well, I think in part that is because there's been this accelerating trend over the last number of decades, and it really goes across all political parties, and it has accelerated over time. But this tendency to use the tax system to drive, as you noted in the introduction, increasingly populist measures. So niche reforms, niche incentives directed towards particular parts of the population. And there's a simple reason that those are increasingly relied upon. It's because they work. Politicians use them to speak to certain parts of their base and to position themselves against the opposition. And the effect of this over time is a tax system that's increasingly cluttered, complicated, and many of these measures really generate modest revenue. The costs of administration are frequently in excess of the revenue derived, and they really add to what I like to refer to as the fiscal pollution that increasingly is prevalent in our Income Tax Act.
Tell me more about that sort of bumper sticker slogans to define platform's problem. When we spoke with Paul Wells, the journalist in Ottawa whose beat is Parliament Hill, he had pointed out that there was a time when a politician would turn to the bureaucrats within any given ministry and work with them to figure out what an effective platform plank would be. But now we printed the bumper stickers before we even talked to the institutional knowledge.
Yeah, we have a very professional and capable cadre of bureaucrats in the Department of Finance and elsewhere that have a host of excellent ideas and a long history of implementation to support our tax system. But you're right. Increasingly, those bureaucrats are having to deal with political mandarins that want to have more, power over the levers of the tax system. Right. And I think that that's creating a dynamic that's very challenging, where you've got the bureaucrats essentially not being able to advance the measures that they, based on expert advice, may prefer. And there's always been a requirement for compromise. Right. The political expediency of the day is always an overlay. But I think what's really changed is the lack of a longer term vision. Right. So we basically are in an environment right now where it's very short-term thinking, responding to polls, and the tax reform that I think we need requires that type of long-term resolve, right, with expert input and with the political will and fortitude to see it through to conclusion. That's not really the environment which we're operating right now.
You used an interesting phrase, a fiscal pollution. Tell me more about how you define that.
Well, I can't take credit for creating that phrase. It's something that's been in the tax literature for a number of decades, but I would view it as measures that are as we've just been talking about, short-term, narrowly targeted, extraneous perhaps to the overall structure of the Income Tax Act, and over time, their cumulative effect tends to clog the workings of the system, both for taxpayers and their advisors trying to be compliant, and on the other side, to the CRA, Canada Revenue Agency, working to administer the Income Tax Act. It really adds a lot of burden that doesn't result in significant revenue or, more importantly, economic incentives to growth and productivity.
Well, we closed the opening ozone layer by getting rid of CFCs. Is there a tax equivalent that we need to eliminate? What are some of the three biggest polluters, as you see it, when it comes to this fiscal pollution in the tax base?
I mean, you could point to a lot of the measures that were introduced in the last, 10, 15 years, things like narrowly targeted incentives for things like, people who have children in certain activities or support of digital media, very narrow transit credits, very well-intentioned. But is the tax system the right way to administer those types of programs? It really is. I think that's a fair question to ask. It also distracts us from bigger problems of our tax system and the need for substantive reform. It will be very easy for a government to be distracted by all of these little nuisances on the side, when really they should be focused on what are the structural changes that are necessary to make Canada an attractive and competitive environment for business.
So then what does pro-growth tax reform look like to you?
Well, I think there's a general consensus, and when I say a general consensus, I have to add a caveat that this is amongst people who think hard about the tax system from the context of, economists or tax experts. The general consensus there would be we need to do things like broaden the base, change the mix, which would be relying perhaps more on indirect taxes as opposed to income taxes, look at the rates. There's a whole host of incentives and tax expenditures that perhaps we could revisit. But that consensus maybe does not exist amongst the political classes or amongst the Canadian population writ large. And I think that a necessary precondition is to broaden that conversation. And also for all of the parties to that conversation, including business, to recognize that compromise is necessary and to be willing to come to the table with that mindset.
Well, let's expand upon that, because how do we create a narrative that can engage Canadians and gain political support, focusing on economic growth that considers the interplay between domestic tax policies and really global economic factors, where often that fiscal pollution that we talk about is because of something that's happening even right outside our borders that we don't have direct control over anyway?
Yeah, I mean, this is very personal for me. I am a very proud Canadian. I think that we as a country have in the past punched above our weight. And I think creating that sense of pride, we want to be a small country that has significant influence. And to do that, that really starts at home with having a robust economy, growth, good opportunities, and the ability to meet our international obligations, right? And I think that focusing on growth is the way to start that conversation.
Is it a conversation that Canadians are prepared for? Because you're not going to win any friends by calling for an increase in the GST and a reduction in spending. Let's start with the GST. Well, what should a GST increase look like? And really, sell it to Canadians. How does it help?
Yep. Well, it's interesting. It's a very hard sell for many Canadians, and I fully acknowledge that. It's very popular to reduce taxes. It's very hard to bring them back. I think restoring the 2% cut in the GST would be the right thing to do with the appropriate measures to protect lower-income Canadians. That's critical. That absolutely has to be part of the package. And I think that it must be part of an overall package that aims to be neutral from a cost perspective. That being said, I mean, the GST is highly visible, right? It's like municipal property taxes. It's something that people pay every time they, every time they pay it, they feel it, right? It's not like income tax, which for most people is withheld at source. It's semi-invisible, right? Because you just get your net pay in your bank account and you don't really think about it. You don't have to write a check every 2 weeks for your income tax. But the GST, you pay every time you purchase something. So it's highly visible. And I think that reality has to be acknowledged. And therefore, it has to be part of a package of broader reforms where there's give and take. And so it's not perceived as slamming certain parts of the population while others get to keep their benefits?
Because the GST is a consumption tax, there would be Canadians, I can imagine, screaming back at us on the screen here saying, why don't we just tax the rich more? That would solve the problem without impacting the poor.
Yeah, I mean, it's for a couple things. First of all, any increase to the GST must contain measures to protect the poor, right? That absolutely is part of the equation. That often gets lost in the conversation, but that needs to be there, and that's always been the case. The second thing is the rich, however you define it, and it's an open debate as to who is rich in Canada. You know, it's like the middle class, very difficult, very amorphous. How do you define it? But if you look at the highest marginal tax rates in Canada, they're well north of 50% right now. You know, that's a very significant levy. You're at risk of not being able to attract talent. And the rate at which the highest marginal rate kicks in, the amount of income, is significantly lower in Canada than in places like the United States, for example. So a direct comparison, a rival for talent. So we need to be competitive as part of the global economy. And the other practical reality is the rich are already contributing a significant portion of the tax revenue beyond their population. So it's there's a small number of people you can go to for that. I think broad-based measures are much less disruptive to the economy generally. But I know the political reality of selling that is more complicated than explaining it.
Well, then at the risk of increasing the likelihood you'll be kicked off some Canadians' Christmas card lists, have you identified where significant spending cuts should come from? And how do you sell that to the public when it comes to getting them on side with tax reform?
Well, that I think is also where you need to look at some of the things that, you know, have been debated for a number of years. I mean, I think spending, not just spending cuts, but like a spending review, spending reform, ideally would be part of this as well as a tax reform, because you have to have the expenditure and the revenue side obviously aligned. And it's hard to do one in the absence of the other. There is a lot of, you know, vested interests in the tax system as it currently exists. And that's what I mentioned at the outset about people being willing to compromise. That's where it gets difficult as well. So things like looking at the capital gains inclusion rate, that might be one way of looking at it. There's other business-friendly incentives that maybe are not as effective as they could be. We could revisit those and look at tweaking them or eliminating some of those. So I think there's a menu of things that could be examined.
A conversation that often comes up at the CD Howe Institute is productivity, or the lack thereof, in Canada compared to other G7 nations. How does tax reform fit into Canada's broader productivity problems?
Well, tax is one element for sure. I would say it's not the single most important element, or perhaps not even in the top three or four, but it is a factor. You also have to look at things like the regulatory regime within the country. How difficult is it to get things done? You know, the competitive environment, you know, in Canada, we have many industries where there is not a huge amount of competition. But tax for sure is part of it. I think you need to be careful about using the tax system to incent things. It's dangerous sometimes for government to be picking industries or winners or losers in a particular space. But I think tax definitely is part of a package that makes for a competitive and therefore attractive environment.
After this conversation, I'm not going to be the most popular participant at my next dinner party if I bring up tax reform.
Right.
How do we get Canadians to care?
Fundamentally, the tax system is about, it really reflects decisions that we make about what's important in our country and how we want our society to work, what we want our economy to look like. I think many of us feel right now that things could be better, should be better, and this is a mechanism to get to that place, right? Where Canada is really the envy of other nations. And we still are in many respects, but I worry that that's at risk. And this is part of a broader conversation about Canada's place in the world and creating that sense of pride and accomplishment and being an environment where people want to move, people want to invest and build their businesses here. That is something we all need. And I think that cuts across all political persuasions.
If there was a topic that we didn't touch on over the course of this conversation that we really need to ensure is a key data point in that national conversation about tax reform, what should it be?
I think we should have the ambition and the bravery and the fortitude to press forward with this and recognize that it's going to be a multi-year journey and try really hard to get the folks in Ottawa to take that on and not be dissuaded by short-term political expediency. So I know that's difficult, and this is a complex conversation, but I think that's a goal worth pursuing.
Does it get pursued anytime soon, particularly in light of the expectation of a 2025 federal election?
I don't see this happening in the context of the federal election. No, I don't. I just think that would be unrealistic. We're really in such a polarized environment right now, and everyone is focused on their talking points, and this is not one of them. And tax reform is not going to win any votes. But I think that if we end up in a majority government, whatever party, this is something they should take on. And I would rather us as a nation decide to take this on than have it thrust upon us because of some external imperative, right? An economic crisis of some sort that forces our hand. I think it's better to control the process and, as I said, have the ambition to take it on now.
Yeah, it's not like we're going to have another pandemic anytime soon.
Knock on wood, right? I don't know.
Heather, thank you so much for your time and insight today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Heather Evans is the Executive Director and CEO of the Canadian Tax Foundation. For more insight into effective tax policy, visit cdhow.org. I'm Michael Hainsworth. Thanks for joining.
You've been listening to the C.D. Howe Institute podcast with Michael Hainsworth. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. The C.D. Howe Institute is an independent, not-for-profit research institute whose mission is to raise living standards by fostering economically sound public policies. The Institute is widely considered to be Canada's most influential think tank and a trusted source of essential policy intelligence, distinguished by nonpartisan, evidence-based research and subject to definitive expert review. Visit cdhow.org and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn. Thank you.